thank you, God, for building your kingdom here, Father, building your kingdom in this place today. We thank you for your ability to do it, Lord. We think of Jesus' words where he said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it, God. I thank you, Father. We know that Jesus is doing his job. He's building his church, God. We know that his church is being established in this time. And God, as your kingdom goes forth, we pray, God, that you would open our eyes that we might be able to see clearly our involvement in advancing the kingdom of Jesus Christ today. Now, Father, in the name of Jesus, we speak against every sickness and disease that would try to harass or plague us, and we come against that. We stand against it because we know there's no sickness or disease in heaven. So in Jesus' name, we speak healing over this body. Healing from the top of our head to the soles of our feet in the name of Jesus. Now, whatever you're dealing with, you just mention it to the Lord. Say, Lord, I thank you for healing this condition in my body right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, I receive the healing power of God into my life right now in the name of Jesus Christ. I reject every sickness and disease in the name of Jesus. Every disease germ and every virus that touches my body, I command it to die in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Lord, I thank you for your word that brings life to us. I thank you for the word of God that brings life to us, and we receive life today as we receive the word. Say this with me, Father, I receive life today as I receive your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. We want to share some things this morning and move fairly quickly because I don't want to be long this morning, but I want to share a bit about a problem that's in the church and the problem that's in the world today. And I'm going to share part of it this Sunday and part of it next Sunday. But one of the main problems that I want us to talk a little bit about this morning is probably our inability or the thing that fogs our view. Or an inability to see. When Adam and Eve were created, they were created upon the earth, and they could see from the spiritual realm very clearly. They were very much spiritual beings. And they were able to commune with God, that fellowship with him. God would talk to them, they'd talk to God, and they would fellowship very clearly. But something happened when they sinned. When they sinned, the Bible says that their eyes were open. And they weren't blind before, but their eyes were open when they sinned. What were they open to? Well, it simply means that they became more fleshly minded and were able to see more in the flesh than they could in the spirit. Their eyes became open to the things of the flesh. And of course, when that happened, they began to have the consequences of their disobedience come upon them. So they began living a physical flesh life more than a spiritual life. But yet now Jesus came and he opened the door for us to be able to live a spiritual life by faith. And that means that the things that we see in the natural realm are not always the things that dictate the way things really are. And I think as a people, we often are not unable to see the way things really are. There are things that are hidden from us that we want to be able to look into, that we want to be able to see, because I am convinced, basically, as we're born again believers, we come into the kingdom of God, we want God's ways, so we're basically good people in that sense, in the sense that we want to follow God. I'm convinced of that. So if we're not following God in areas, then it probably lies in the area of what we do not see, what we do not recognize, the things that are not physically set before us so that we can discern which way to go. And I believe that if we saw better, if we could see the way things really are, then we'd probably do things a little bit differently. We'd probably live our lives a little bit differently. The Apostle Paul tells us in speaking about the putting away of the Israelites being able to see the Lordship of Jesus Christ and embrace it. He talks about that in Romans. The Bible talks about a stupor coming upon the nation of Israel. And it says that it was from God. This stupor on the nation of Israel was just simply a blindness that came over the nation of Israel because of their rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ. So they rejected Jesus. We know that. We just read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and we see how the nation of Israel rejected Jesus as a whole. Now, some of them received him, but as a whole, they rejected him. So because they rejected truth, a stupor comes upon the nation so that they can't see clearly. Because they disobeyed the Messiah, he came and presented himself to them, but they rejected him, they disobeyed, and because of that, there was a stupor came upon them so that they cannot see even to this day. Even to this day, when even though there are so many Christians that are doing a lot of good things in the nation of Israel today, even though this is taking place, they're having a difficult time to see that Jesus is the Messiah as a nation. And individually, there's people who are coming to Christ. There are messianic Christians, we call them, that actually believe that Jesus is the Christ and that they serve him. But as a nation, as a whole, they're still waiting for the Messiah. They're still waiting for him to come. And I believe, as the scripture says, it is the goodness of God that leads people to repentance. Now, we know that Prime Minister Harper was in Israel this week. And if you've seen any of the tracts that were sent forth or read any material about his reception in the Knesset and in the nation of Israel, it was like he was rock star status kind of thing. They showed their appreciation to not only Prime Minister Harper, but also to the nation of Canada. And I believe we're blessed as a nation because of that. Canada is the nation that's known above any other nation as far as supporting the nation of Israel. And I think that's a good thing. That's a good thing that we are standing with them, declaring that they have a right to exist as a nation. I mean, after all, God spoke that. And so Canada is blessed, but a lot of people do not see the value of blessing Israel. They don't even see that Israel should even exist as a nation. They're blinded. They're in a fog. There's things around them that they're not seeing. They're not seeing the reality. God says, I'll bless those who bless you, and I'll curse those who curse you, speaking about Abraham and the nation that he would form. So that is a reality, and that is a fact that God has spoken very clearly about, and you and I are to take those words by faith and know that it's good to bless Israel, that the nation of Israel, when we bless them, we can be blessed. Now, I want us to think about this a little bit this morning, about things that we cannot see, things that you and I look at and probably see incorrectly, things that you and I are trying to discern as Christians living in a flesh world, in a flesh body, things that are happening in the realm of the spirit that you and I don't see. You and I sometimes don't see when we say bad things about somebody else. We don't see the effect of those words. We don't see the effect of these words that are spoken out of our mouth. We don't see what happens with those words when they go forth and speak negative things. Let me put it that way, negative things about somebody else. Because when I say bad things, well, we're thinking, you know, well, we wouldn't really say anything. A bad thing might be a lie, or a bad thing might be exposing them in a way that they shouldn't be exposed. But when we put the words negative, just saying something negative about somebody else can have an influence and an effect. And I believe if we really truly seen what those negative words produce, we'd be a whole lot more careful about what we say. Because what we say is extremely important. I want us to show us just a little clip here this morning that gives us some kind of concept that we have to realize that we don't always see things the way they are. That there's sometimes a fog over us. Let's show the first clip there, Rob. And let me just talk about it for a minute. You see those? I wonder how many times those kind of looks like little feet are stopping along the way. They keep on track going all the time. Who would like to take a guess? Just a real quick guess of how many times they're stopping. 20. Anybody else? 50. Okay. It looks like they're stopping, but in actual fact, those little feet are not stopping at all. Just stop it there for a sec, Rob. Notice they're exactly the same. Now, Rob, put the high contrast off and start it. See what's happening? They're going exactly the same. But there's an illusion there with those lines. They present an illusion that they're actually stopping and starting. You see, things are not always the way we see. There are things happening in the realm of the spirit that are different than what we see. There are things that are continuing on. You know, even sometimes when we say, when we've spoken out a word and we know that it was wrong about somebody else and we think about it and we think, oh, well, yeah, I shouldn't have said that and go on with their life, and that don't mean nothing. No, it may, as far as you are concerned, you may think it's not meaning anything, but it's continuing to go on. It's continuing to move. The effects of those words are continuing onward. And there are things that we do not see. There are things that you and I are living in and day out that we cannot see, that we do not realize, that are affecting the things that we put our hand to. They're affecting the way we live. They're affecting our place with God. It is so important for us to realize that there are things that we do not see. And because there are so many things that we do not see, it is crucial that we obey the Word of God. Because the Word of God is set forward knowing all the things that we do not see. You see, the Word of God, when it speaks to us about how we are to live, it speaks up to us out of the way things really are, not the way we see things. So something that might bring us great enjoyment, or we think great enjoyment for a moment, make us happy, but it's against the Word of God. The Word of God comes us in to say, you don't know what you don't know right now. And if you continue in this path, it's going to lead to destruction. But you don't know the end of what you're doing. But I have set in my word, God says, instruction for you to obey that is protecting you from the things that you do not see. And so God wants to protect us. Say this, I can see clearly now. Say it again, I can see clearly now. Why do we say I can see clearly now? Because Mark 11:23 says, whoever says to this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believes it will happen, he will have whatever he says. Say, I can see clearly now. Well, if you want to see clearly, you want to say that to yourself often. I can see clearly now. By faith, we say, I can see clearly now. Even in a fog, say, I can see clearly now. When we resist some truth, we get into a type of fog, the same way as Israel is in today. We get into a type of fog where we do not see things the way we are. I'm sure many of you have heard the term the fog of war. Well, the fog of war really speaks to us about the confusion of war. The things that are happening that we can't see. There's a fog of war when the battle begins. That no plan works, really. No plan works in the battle, because a plan can be set about in an office somewhere, and where the soldiers and the armies are to go, and they're going to, you know, implement this plan. But when it comes in the battle, there's an enemy there who does things that you're not expecting. So there's a real fog of war that takes place, and they can't see. And that's why sometimes there's people killed with their own friendly fire, because there's so much fog that they can't see in the midst of it. Well, sometimes that's what happens to you and I. When we disobey a truth of God, when we refuse to walk in the truth of God, then there's a fog that comes upon us. When God presents a truth to us and we ignore it over and over and over again, then we get into a fog where we cannot really see, and we don't really feel convicted in a real big way to obey the word anymore. And we become lukewarm in our walk with Jesus. But yet, the psalmist said in Psalm 119:18, open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law. That should be a prayer for us continually every day. Lord, open my eyes that I might see wondrous things from your word. That you might speak wondrous things to me and that I might see them clearly. That I might be a person who would be able to see the things I need to see so that I would respond correctly. And sometimes our seeing must come out of the Word of God. In other words, we see things in the Word of God that we can't see any other way, and then it's up to us, do we obey it or not? Say, I can see clearly now. Well, if we're not in the fog of war, we can see the things God wants us to see. Now, we know in 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians, it speaks to us about how the enemy has blinded the eyes of the unbelievers so that they would not be able to see the glory of Christ. They'd not be able to see his image. The enemy has blinded the eyes of the unbelievers. In other words, there's a fog over the eyes of the unbelievers and they can't see truth. But I wonder sometimes if there's not a fog over the body of Christ in some areas. Where if we have not been walking with God, if we're not being passionate with God, I wonder if there's a fog over our own eyes at times when we don't realize what happens when we do things that are contrary to the Word of God. For instance, I believe, for instance, people, when you get up in the sun, and you get up on Sunday morning and you're making a decision to go to church or not on Sunday morning. Now, I want to encourage you that that decision should not be made on Sunday morning. That ought to be a part of our lives continually, where we gather together. We do not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, and especially when we have children. I believe if parents knew the effect that coming to church once, twice, or even three times a month on a regular basis, that missing out on church, whether it's once a month, twice a month, and far too many are missing out on church on Sunday morning, I'm convinced that if parents knew the effect that was having on their children, they would not do that. They would shift and they'd change their attitude to that and say, on Sunday morning, we are gathering together with the body of Christ. And that message might be a little bit hard to take if we were coming here Sunday morning, Sunday night, through the week, and you know, we were being overwhelmed with meetings. But you know as well as I do, that's not the case. That's not the case. The vast majority hardly come one Sunday, once a week for a month in a row. Now, there's some that do. And I'm not only speaking about this church, I'll talk about churches in general, but we certainly have, I'm speaking about this church as well. You wouldn't want to be left out, would you? But I'm convinced if our eyes were open to some of the effects. Well, Pastor Bill, I missed 3 weeks in a row, or I missed 2 weeks in a row. And you know, my kids are still okay. Kids are still doing fine. Yeah. That's what we see with our eyes. That's what we see with what's set before us. What about giving? What about our giving? If we could see with our eyes the effect of our giving, I'm convinced people would never hold back in their giving. If we would realize that from Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, the Bible talks about bringing all the tithes into the storehouse. And he said, if you'll do this, I'll open for you a window of heaven. What does a window do? What's a window for? A window is to see through. A window, when you have especially in the day when that was written in Malachi's day, they would open the shutters. We would call them shutters today, but the window, they would just open it and it would be open where they could see out. Now, windows, we have drive-through restaurants today where we pass things out of, but basically this was spoken about opening a window that you can see out of. And not only can you see out of this building, but if you were on the other side, you could see in. And God says, if you'll bring all the tithes into the storehouse, I'll open for you a window in heaven. Well, I don't know about you, but there's some things I want to see in heaven. I want to take notice what's in heaven. I want to see what's there. Because if I can see into heaven and I can see what's there, I can put my faith toward believing that to come to earth. But if I have no concept of what's in heaven, what's the prayer mean? Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So a window can help us to see into heaven. If a window is open for us, we can see into heaven and begin to see things the way they really are. Our eyes will be open and we'll be able to see things the way they really are. And I'm convinced if we can see things the way they really are, we'll change our lifestyle to some degree. We'll make a shift and a change. We'll do things differently. If we could see the effect of acts of kindness. If there's something going on that we are completely aware of, we're in a disadvantage. And that's what the enemy uses all the time. He uses manipulation. He takes advantage of what we do not see. Because he knows if he can present something to us in this natural realm that looks good, chances are we're going to embrace it. Let's show that next clip. Sometimes we don't see everything the way we ought to see it. We want to read things correctly. We want to be able to see things that we can't see so that we can make proper judgments. Now, when you look at all those dots, they just look like a bunch of dots. And you can't really see anything. You can't really make any sense of it. But when you start it, and when it actually gets into motion, then you can see a figure started there. You can see that it's a human being walking. But when it is stop it now, it just looks like a bunch of dots. There's a couple of things here I want to take note of. One is that we can't see things the way they really are a lot of times in the natural. There are things that the enemy uses to deceive us. And we have to rely on his word. Don't try and get by just because today was a good day so I can live the way I want to, or I can do things that I know it may not be really healthy for me. Realize there are consequences. There's things that we do not see. When things get into motion, we're able to see clearly. And that's a real good demonstration of where are you at on your journey with God? Are you on a journey at all? Are you moving? Because if you're standing still, you may not look like anything. you may look like a bunch of dots, not having any effect, not really putting anything together at all. But if you are on a journey, if you are moving toward God and things of the kingdom, and you are actually seeking the kingdom of God first, like the Bible tells us to, then maybe your vision will come so much greater. Your vision will be able to, you'll be able to see things that you've never seen before. Now, let's read from Luke chapter 6, verse 42 for a moment. How can you say to your brother, "Brother, let me remove the speck that is in your eye," when you yourself do not see the plank that is in your own eye? Now, let me read that again. How can you say to your brother, "Let me remove the speck that is in your eye"? Now, to me, that can be the same as me and Janice getting together and say, "Do you see what Daphne had on today? What a crazy way to dress." Or say something negative. You're talking about a speck. We'd be talking about a speck that's in Daphne's eye. And you know the reason why we see the speck in Daphne's eye? Because we get a big plank in our eye and we can't see. So we try to turn attention off of us. When we're talking negatively about somebody else, we're actually trying to turn the attention away from us. If you find yourself doing that, I ask you this question, or you should ask yourself this question: why do I do that? Why do I see what's wrong in somebody else's life? What are the things in me that causes me to speak out things that are wrong in somebody else's life to somebody else? In other words, why do I gossip? Why do I actually say those things? How can you say to your brother, "Brother, let me remove the speck that is in your eye," when you yourself do not see the plank that is in your own eye? Hypocrite. So when we are gossiping about something, we're saying something about somebody else, we're actually being hypocrites. First, remove the plank from your own eye. Then you will see clearly to remove the speck that is in your brother's eye. You see, I believe God wants us to see clearly, and when we can see clearly, then we can minister to the other individual. Because we'll not only see the speck, we'll not only see the thing that's wrong in the other person, we'll also see Christ within them. We'll see Jesus in them, especially if they're a brother and sister in the Lord. And if they're not a brother and sister in the Lord, we'll see in them someone for whom Christ died. That'll be the primary vision that we'll have. Not this thing that is faulty within them. The primary vision we'll have is, this is someone for whom Christ died. So now when I tell them something, it is out of compassion that might be able to help them, rather than whether I think something is foolish or not. God help us to see clearly. The word, the Greek word clearly there in that verse in Luke 6:42, it means to penetrate, almost like to look through somebody. And when you're looking through somebody, you can pick up both the good and the bad when you spend a lot of time with them. But it's our choice what we choose to hone in on and make much of. But what if there are things that we've come blind to? What if we're going about our lives, our daily lives, and it seems like everything is cool, but we're blind to some things that are really hurting us? There's some things that we need to have our spiritual eyes open to. If we'll say this, and if we'll believe that God wants us to see things clearly, I'm sure he'll open some things to us. And most of the time, he'll open some things to show me something what's in my life that I have to deal with. But if we've got our antennas up, saying, Lord, open my eyes, let me see clearly, we'll see a lot more. I remember one time we were driving in Connecticut, on a freeway in Connecticut, and I'm one of these guys. I'm not nearly as bad as I used to be, but I want to get in the car and I want to go, and I like to go until I get where I'm going. But anyway, this time we're traveling through Connecticut. We're coming from someplace. I forget where it was, where we were before. But I'm thinking, okay, we're on this big freeway, lots of traffic. We're just going. We're just cruising, and there's big, great, big, huge trees on each side of the road. And Debbie is saying, I'd like to stop one more time. I'd like to go shopping one more time. And I'm thinking, and she said, I'd like to go to a Kohl's store. It's usually her favorite store there. And so we're traveling along there, and she said, if I see a Kohl's store, can we stop? And I'm thinking, we'll never see a Kohl's sign here. All those trees, I mean, there's no, you know, there's just nothing to see. And we're traveling along, and there's nothing. And all of a sudden, there it is. It seemed like there were just two trees that separated. And there was this big coal sign. And so I had to take the next exit and off into the coal store. But she was attentive, man. She was looking. She was looking for that open window to be able to see what she wanted. Sometimes you and I got to be that way with God. We have to bring ourselves to the place where we will have our antennas up and say, God, what is it that you're showing me? What are the things that I do not see? What are the things that has to happen in my life so that I can see clearly? Open my eyes so I can see, even in the heavens, so I can see what's there, so I can begin believing you for it, God. When I see what's in heaven, I know it's your desire for that to come to earth. In almost anything, look everywhere. About what's happening in our education system, our government system. And if you can see something better in heaven, believe God for it to come to earth. If you're seeing families in heaven that are all together and are happy and joyful and so forth, believe God that that can come into your life. Because that's what God wants for you. He wants you to be able to see clearly. Look into heaven. Look for an open window. John was on the Isle of Patmos. And the Bible says he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And he said a window was open in heaven. Heaven was open, and he was able to see some things. God wants you and I to be able to see. He wants you and I to be able to see what it takes to have greater employment on Prince Edward Island so families don't have to separate. He wants us to be able to see these things clearly. He wants us to be able to see that whatever is wrong in our lives, whatever's happening in our lives that's not right, he wants to see, wants us to be able to see what got us there and how we can get out of there. He wants us to see clearly. I can see clearly now. Say that with me. I can see clearly now. Believe that God was going to show you, give you greater clarity into spiritual things. When I say spiritual things, I'm simply meaning there are things in the spirit realm that affect who we are and how we live our daily lives. And if we can see those things that are connected, if we can connect the dots, we will be able to make proper judgments and proper actions. Because like I said, I believe that if we can see, if you and I can see the effect of some of the things we do, I believe we'll make the right choices. I believe the vast majority of people in this world, by far the vast majority of people in the world, if they could see the destination of every unbeliever, they would turn to Christ. They would turn to Christ in an instant. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. Yet many people will still continue in sin. Even Christians. They must be unable to see the death that sin is bringing into their lives. Now, Adam and Eve could not see the result of their disobedience before they disobeyed. But when they disobeyed, they began to experience the results of their disobedience. Now, Jesus came. And he came to bring us into a place where we could see the result of God's blessing on our lives. He wants us to be able to see the result of obedience. He wants us to be able to walk in that. He wants us to be able to enjoy the result of obedience, the blessing of God. He wants us to be able to see the blessing of coming to the Father and saying, Daddy, I'm so glad that you're here with me. I'm so glad that you love me. You care about me. I'm so glad that you think I'm special. I'm so glad that you love me. I'm so glad that you care about me. I'm so glad I'm not alone in this world. I'm so glad that you never left me as an orphan. I'm so glad that you said that you'd meet all my needs. I'm so glad that you said that you'd fill me with joy at your presence. See, we want to see clearly. We want to be able to see those things. We want to see the great, awesome things that he has for us. Say this with me. I can see clearly now. Stand up with me, please. Heavenly Father, I thank you, God, for the clarity that we have. I thank you for the clarity that we have in Jesus. I thank you that Jesus has been set before us and he has shown us who he is in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I thank you, Lord, that your presence, in your presence is fullness of joy. And as we can see clearly, we're going to recognize your feelings toward us, your compassion toward us. We're going to recognize the blessing that we walk in because of who you are. We're going to recognize the evil and the good, and we're going to shun the evil. We're going to embrace the good. We thank you, God, that we can see clearly. We thank you that you open our eyes.